Hello, listeners. My name is Victor Rodriguez, and you're listening to Pulse, where we take a peek at Pierce's unexpectedly layered social environment. Mules, not just in Moscow anymore. Sorry, guys. It's a bad joke, but I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm joined here today with McKenna Kellogg and Holly Ellingson, and they are part of Pierce College's mule packing team. They're here to explain it. I don't even know, guys. Okay, Holly, what is mule packing?
All right, so mule packing. Now, if y'all don't know what mules are, they're a cross between a donkey and a horse. And if you've ever seen an old Western movie, when they go into the mountains, they ride the horse, and then they have a string of 4 to 8, sometimes even 12 mules. And you'll see boxes, and then you'll see packing. You'll be covered by like a blanket or sometimes a tarp. And basically, it's where they have all their supplies. So what mule packing is they created in Bishop, California in the 1960s, a mule packing event, which is like a rodeo, for all the packers that didn't have anything to do during the off seasons. Because right now, it's considered the off season for the mule packing. People that go camping in the mountains, they only do it during the summertime. So for about 9 months, they didn't have anything to do, so they created a mule packing event, and where now colleges have been getting involved, and we created a teams, and we race for time for packing.
So, like, let's get to the actual packing. Is it?
Yeah.
So it's literally in the old Westerns, you see Clint Eastwood walk by, and It's literally the bags on the sides of the mules.
Yes.
So it's like the Tetris of mules.
Pretty much.
Okay, because that's how I did, like, thought of it in my brain when I first saw you guys. Now, can you explain a little bit more? I know there's more than one mule in the event. How does the competition break down?
The competition breaks down by you're given a horse and two mules throughout the whole competition, and you have nothing on your horse. There's nothing on your mules. It can be laid out in the middle of the arena. It could be right next to them. One of the events that we compete with is a scramble pack, and you have to run to your gear. There's a bunch of gear just in the middle. Your mules are on the other side of the arena, so complete opposite where you are. And you got to run, pick up all your gear, and run towards your mules and your horse. And you literally have to pack them all up as quickly as possible, which includes boxes, ropes, a saddle for your horse. Meanwhile, you know, it's complete chaos in that arena because, again, we're competing, so there's a bunch of other teams and mules, and it's chaos. But once you get all that packed on your mule and all your ties are done, you have to be able to have someone ride the horse, and trailing behind the horse will be the two mules, and you have to race to a finish line on horseback. And if anything falls off your pack or falls off your mule or a rope touches the ground, then you're pretty much eliminated or docked on time. So,
okay, it's really interesting because it involves other living things. Like, Has there ever been a day or a competition where they're just not into it?
Well, they're definitely not into it all the time. So usually, I mean, in our last competition, McKenna and I had just competed this last year, and they kind of changed it up a bit on us. But, you know, this is their job they do, and they do this all the time. Now, they do it in a different environment. You know, they're probably already stringed up. There's really nobody running at them. So the competition that we do is like completely out of their element. So we have to, number one, be really confident around the animals and be calm, you know, and it's calm and then chaos at the same time. So it's kind of like an oxymoron. But, you know, in the event that we did, the horses got loose on every single team, and you literally have to go run around and chase them, grab them, get them back in, and just complete it as calmly as you can. And it's funny because some of the best packers in the event had stuff that fell off. So we were the first team, like the only team, when we came up last. But everything was clean, so nothing came off. So, you know, we really went there, like, for the fun of it. And we only had, like, 3 weeks to practice because the person that came up to, like, you know, tell us about it and wanted to, like, create this team this year, we only had 3 weeks. And we really pulled it together. Like, we really pulled together as, like, as a team. We had two teams, so, like, a team as peers, practicing, and just, you know, learning it. We had literally had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. So it's there's a lot of factors in it. But we did it and it was super fun. We came a blast, but it really didn't matter because we had a blast.
It sounds really fun. I mean, in real world standards, I mean, you guys are the winners. Nothing fell off, right?
Right. You know, yeah. And everything was clean and nothing fell off. And that was, like, the beauty about it.
Okay. Now, where do these horses come from? Are they the school's horses or?
No. So our horses come from a pack station up in the Sierra Mountains. There were different pack stations that supplied the animals to us. So we get ours from Frontier Pack Station. So the animals that are on our horses that are here are actually horses that take people up in the Sierras that do their job. They're the horses that people ride, and they have mules that help them carry the stuff. So our horses are not mules, they're horses, and they do not pack anything, so we can't practice on them. Mm-hmm. They would probably freak out if we came running up to them with a whole bunch of gear and just, like, packing them, because it's not normal. But Frontier Pack Station, there was a lot of other pack stations that the Frontier was the only one that I remember because that's where we got our stock from. But it's very amazing because you wouldn't think about it. So in the mountains up by Mammoth, with this Bishop area, there's probably about 6 different pack stations that have seed that take people out in the middle of the wilderness and pack for days on end. They also do horse drives, so they bring their horses from one end of the mountain to the other, so ones that are out in pasture for, like, all season long, and then they make an event out of it, so it's like a 4-day event. So it's really cool. Like, anybody can participate in that. It's online, frontierpackstation.com, and they just, like, provide the experience of going out in the mountains and packing on horseback and camping, and you bring, you know, the supplies that you have. They kind of make it into glamping because they kind of spoil you on the trip. I think personally they have, like, their own 5-star chefs and stuff like that, which is not necessarily what you're going to find when you're out in the wilderness, but they make it fun. And they make it for, like, you know, anybody, kids can do it. They've held elderly people on there too. So it's a really cool thing that they do. And then not only do they allow us to have their horses here, you know, for our school, which is great because we wouldn't have our program without it.
Oh, yeah. So let's take a step back. When was the first time you rode a horse?
I was 5.
I was also 5 years old.
Is that, like, a rite of passage or a happy coincidence?
It was, like, the first thing that I wanted to do. I think my first party that I ever wanted was a My Little Pony party, and I think I was, like, 2. And then I can't remember, but I just said I think that I wanted to go for riding was, like, a birthday present. I never really wanted material things. I just wanted to always do stuff. And so the first time I ever rode a horse was when I was 5. And then I started when I was probably around 6 doing it competitively, 6 or 7. And then obviously as a teenager, I quit. And then now I'm back in my 30s. So.
All right. McKenna?
I actually saw my brother take a horseback riding lesson. And I said, you know, Mommy, I want to do that. But she said, no, you're a little too little. And my riding teacher, well, now my riding teacher, she said, no, she could do it. I got a pony. So put me on that pony's back. And ever since then, I had never quit. I mean, it's been something pretty steady throughout my life, competing, taking care of people's horses. And eventually, I'd love to own my own business in that field. So
that's really cool. So like any sort of teams or competitions, it's expected that you guys have rivals. Is there a school that you compete with that you kind of have a... a little competition with?
Honestly, we are the only one in Southern California. Everybody's up north, and they're all universities. I think one of them was a community college, and they were Feather River. Now, they have horse equine units that they practice on their own on livestock. So they're really good, and they've had their teams for, like, a long time. So honestly, like, we want to win, obviously, mm-hmm. but Davis, UC Davis, that has been there, they're like the great, like, they're reigning champions for the last 3 years. They are so good. They are so fast, but they have their own stock that they can practice on. So, you know, it's not that we have rivals. It's just that when we're up there, they treat us like we're all family. So they want us to be a family. We're all competing against each other, but we sit down there. The mandatory thing that they had for us was every single night you had to come for dinner, and we all eat dinner as a family. And if you didn't, you got points docked off.
So
really,
like,
it's not a rival thing. It's like, we're all competing, but we're family in the sense of, like, we're all doing the same thing. We're all here for the same reason.
All right. I feel it. Now, let's get into the specifics of meal packing. Do you have any sort of tools that you use specifically for it? Like, or actually, I kind of do want to know this. Do you carry sugar cubes to persuade the horses?
No, we do not carry sugar cubes. Again, these are not our animals or livestock, so we don't know what their dietary needs are. So if we did feed a horse a sugar cube and he was actually very sensitive to sugar, we could possibly injure that animal. Mm. So we cannot use any food as persuasion, as much as I think it would help sometimes. But a good tool that I think we used was, we had the privilege of practicing on a plastic horse. He was not real, but he was a life-size model. So to get down all the little knots and all the little details of packing that horse or mule, I think came in handy for us because, again, none of us had done it before. It was our first year. We had no idea what it was going to be like, and we don't have livestock, so we're at a disadvantage there. But being able to practice on something still but have a lifelike, what is it called? The proportions of the mm-hmm. horse were the same. I think that was a good tool for us to get started on.
It was actually nice because Pookie's really tall. Our horse that you saw when
Pookie?
We were... Yeah, his name's Pookie.
Oh
so
God.
If you ever see a horse that's standing still at the equine unit, it's Pookie. It's not a live horse. he is not... mules are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had short people, like me, had a really hard time tying the last knot. And when it came down to actual competing, the mules are actually shorter. So it was really, really nice. I actually enjoyed it because I had the knot trying to, like, remember how to do the last knot. It's just all repetition, you know? And when you practice something and when you're really, really motivated to do something that's super fun and, like, with our friends, it didn't matter that it was freaking 100 degrees when we went up there and we were, like, sweating all day long in long sleeve shirts and jeans and stuff. Like, we just really had a lot of fun. You know, and back to the mules and feeding them stuff, you know, it's really hard when you grow up thinking that all horses eat certain things and special things. And, you know, coming here and learning actual science of horse science program, you learn a lot of things that they can't eat, and especially when they're not your own stock, and they're not animals, they're not companion animals, they're workhorses, they have a job, and so you have to treat them like they're that's what they're doing, they're doing a job, and they're there to work. They're not there to just play, which we do like to play with them. And the one thing that we did do that was really fun that we forgot to mention is the first event that we have when we get there is called a comedy show.
A comedy show.
And they start this off where they have a theme, and then we get to dress the horses up and the mules.
Oh,
and
God.
Ourselves.
And ourselves. So last year was rocking mules. So basically whatever you wanted to do to, like, you know, create whatever you thought of. And we dressed ours up as, like, a 80s rock band with a mullet. It was epic. So, like, and then they were rocking horses with you know,
like, children and teddy bears and lollipops.
Yeah, that's adorable.
It was really awesome. You can go on to, actually, is it on Facebook? Bishop Mule Days 2017. And you'll see all the pictures. It was so much fun.
Awesome. Yeah, because I still think I've been having the term mule packing in my brain for the last week, and I can't picture it. So I'm going to definitely check out and look at these photos. Facebook, it's hard to get a visual for.
Facebook, Bishop Mule Days, mule packing, and it's on there. We're all on there. All
right. If you're just joining us now, you're listening to Pulse. I'm here with McKenna Kellogg and Holly Ellingson, and we're talking about mule packing. Okay. Pookie was at Club Rush.
Yeah.
How was Club Rush for you guys? Were you guys trying to recruit and stuff?
Club Rush was, it was a really fun time. I know I always enjoy it because I love to kind of spread the word about our equine science program here at Pierce College. And also just starting out our mule packing team here at Pierce was a lot of fun to kind of talk to people, educate people. We had a couple people that were already experienced with horses, so hopefully we got a couple recruits there that will join our team. And it was always a fun experience to teach people about what horses have to offer and what we at Pierce College have to offer for the equine science program. So,
no, if I think about that, I think about what if we never rode horses? Imagine the progress we would have lost.
Yeah, it's very true.
I mean, I'm very grateful for all animals, but I mean, horses especially and mules. So you said that what's the difference between a mule and a donkey?
So a mule is a cross between a donkey and a horse. So a male horse, a stallion, mm-hmm. and a female donkey. And they breed them together, and then you get a mule.
Okay, are those happy accidents? Or do,
no, they do it on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think mules are sterile, aren't they?
Mules? No, not necessarily. No, and I don't think they breed other mules to other mules. I think they specifically... Personally, I don't really know the whole, like, reason behind it, but I just know that that's what they do. And the reason why they do that is because mules are sure-footed. And mules are... And, I'm sorry, donkeys are sure-footed. And so when they... And they're, like... They last a long time on the road. So, like, they cross them between so they can get a little bit bigger version of a donkey. And they follow. Like, they're just followers. And so it's easy to get a donkey to follow, you know. And then they're easy packers. So they don't usually ride them. They're okay. Just usually for packing.
Do you have a favorite mule?
We had two crazy girls. So we had on my team, because we were on two separate teams this last year, my one mule was very spooky. Anything that would come up to her fast, anything, she'd bolt. So she was my favorite at the end because we put her in front and she just took off. So, like, when you get used to how they are and you just know how, like, they interact with the environment and everything that's going on, you can teach your team on, okay, this is the event we're doing. We're race for time. And she's going to be in front because she's going to freaking lead everybody, you know? So, that's the thing, you would have to know that about your animal.
Yeah. So, when I think about mules and horses and donkeys, I think it's a really stark contrast. Because if you look around, this is an agricultural, it was founded as an agricultural college, mm-hmm. but we're in a city. How do you, what's the contrast like? Like you're driving on the freeway to come to practice on horses. Like,
yeah. Honestly, when I'm here, I don't feel like I'm in the city.
Yeah. I mean, it's down at the Equine Science Unit here on the Pierce College campus, it's, you know that you're there for horses, and it's a very horsey vibe. You don't really notice the buildings. You are so focused on what needs to get done with these animals or what you want to accomplish in class that it really doesn't bother anyone, I don't think. You don't really notice it.
I mean, yeah, you don't notice unless you're looking for it. I mean, I know I've driven by the Rainbow Barn, and I've always, like, looked like, oh, I wonder what that's for. I never really paid it much thought. But is that where...
I think the Rainbow Barn is part of the farm, and I can't remember if that's the goat barn or... So there's two separate parts of, like, the agriculture department. So there's the farm side, and then there's the equine side, which is all agriculture. So when you're... Depending on what program you're in, so our equine science program is, like, mainly about just horses. But if you're going towards, like, animal science as, like, a major, most people are doing, like, pre-vet for pre-vet so they can... transfer to a different college. And then we have our RVT, which is our Registered Veterinary Technician program. And with that said, you basically learn everything. So you start out like small animals, and then you learn all the way up to large animals and then farms. So it's basically you get, I think that's the beauty about this program, is that you get the wide range of experience before you either transfer or go into a job.
And yeah, you said when you do go up to these competitions, mm-hmm. you know, you're one of the only 2-year schools up against, you know, big brand name universities. Mm-hmm. And
gotta have money, yeah.
Yeah, what's that like?
I didn't feel intimidated at all. No, honestly, we were so there to have fun, and I was so proud that we were able to get it together as best we did for 3 weeks and just did it. We actually got a sponsor, which was really awesome. She gave us some money to be able to like get some shirts, and we never like didn't have the logo on them or anything like that, but we did our best. We definitely have some changes that we're going to do this year, and that's why we're starting so early in the semester, because it's not until next year, so we're going to start promoting it and having tryouts and stuff like that. So,
and like we said, it's a very it was very like almost family oriented, where everyone was helping out, and we actually had a teammate that got injured during the event, and we did not have anyone to take the spot. So what we did was kind of asked around, and luckily one of the other teams lent us a teammate. So we had Cal Poly offered up a teammate just so we could finish the competition. So it's a very small community. It's a very tight community, and everyone kind of looks out for each other, which is really nice considering we're very small and everyone else is pretty big.
Yeah. Pomona being pals. Look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother aspect I didn't even think of. Sometimes do you guys get what's the worst injuries you get?
I came back with welts all over my arm.
You come back with some stepped on toes or bruises on your arms or legs. I think our teammate ended up pulling her hamstring.
She did, and she did it not while on a horse. She was running and she stepped on, because in the arena it's like sand, but it's like hard sand. So
and there's all the divots.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, and she was, yeah, she just hurt. She hurt her. I think she bruised it or pulled it. So we spent like at night, I think it was Saturday night, in the emergency room with our team. And she ended up being fine, and she's totally fine now. But yeah, it was really nice that we almost had to forfeit, because if we couldn't find anybody else, we wouldn't have been able to compete in the last event. So it was really cool.
Unless you would have told me, I never would have figured you gotten injured.
Oh, yeah. So the boxes that we have are pretty big, and they're aluminum or wood. And so when you have these spooky mules that are freaked out because there's other people running at you, you know, you're going to get hit. And honestly, the adrenaline, you know, don't really notice. But by the end of the day, you know, or the end of the weekend, I'm taking pictures of like all these bruises, and they hurt afterwards, but not while. I'm like, how did I get that one? How did I get that one? And you know, it's the nature, you know, when you're working around these animals, especially in that environment, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we do our best to stay safe, though.
Yes. But there was one instance where I remember I was even on the horse holding the mules behind me. And those boxes, I mean, two of our mules collided side by side, but those boxes hang off the side. So my leg got pinned in between the boxes. So, you know, you kind of had to holler out like, you guys got to move that mule. And we had another teammate get pinned between those boxes. But, you know, they made sure everyone was okay afterwards. They keep eye, like, if you're in a very dangerous situation, they will step in and help out if it came to that.
Yeah. All right. As the show winds down, what is one thing you want people to know about mule packing?
I would want people to know that it is a tradition that is not as strong as I think the community wishes it was. It's not as known. It's not as recognized. And it deserves recognition. And that's why they have the Bishop Mule Day events, because they want people to understand and love the tradition and get involved, because it is so fun and it is such a nice community to be in. So you don't need horse experience. You will grow with it. So that's something I would want people to know, is it deserves recognition.
It's fun. It's new. It's not anything like McKenna said, that anybody has ever thought would be an event that could happen. So we just want to keep it going and something new, something different, you know, not like normal, like barrel racing or jumping or anything. It's something that you can do around these animals that's super fun.
And practical. It could help you. Yeah, it could help you out in the wilderness.
It's very true. Yeah, practical. Yeah.
All right, you millennials, you hear that? Put down your frisbees, put down your hacky sacks, and learn how to tie some rope. Okay, that's all the time we have here today. Thank you for listening. This has been Victor Rodriguez for KPCRadio.com.